Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 45. Let's read this passage responsively. Luke 23, verses 39 through 45. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And let's finish on verse 45 together. Ready? "And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." And let's pray. Now, Father, again, we need you. Lord, may we yield our spirit to the Holy Spirit of God as we preach your word. May we receive from heaven what you have for us. Lord, we stand before you needy and sinful. God, I pray that you'd help us today. Would you anoint the rest of this service in a very unique way? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. One of the most moving stories in history is probably the story of Calvary. It is the most well-written, most publicized, most talked about death in world history. You realize that there's not a death of a human being in world history that is talked about more than the death of Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. Here was a totally innocent man, found guilty of crimes that he had not committed because he was sinless. He was nailed to an old rugged cross. He was beaten beyond recognition, and he was spit upon and had no defense. He spoke not a word to defend himself. Let me remind you, Jesus Christ was not guilty. He had done nothing wrong. He was willingly doing this to pay our sin debt. You have to realize, some of you, even though you're wrong, tried to defend yourself. He was totally innocent and said not a word. Now listen very carefully. He was doing this to balance the scale of justice between God and man. He did that so that we could have heaven. He did this because he loves us sinners, but he loved the fellowship that God and man once had, but sin drove that away. He wanted that sin debt to be cared for so that God and man could be put back together. The Bible says that Jesus was nailed to a cross and hung between two thieves. Can you imagine? The perfect, sinless Son of God, stripped, derobed, beaten, and hung between two common thieves. By the way, not just regular thieves. When you're getting put to death for being a thief, that's a pretty bad thief right there. It reminds me of a story. A little Baptist kid and a little Catholic kid in the same neighborhood. Baptist kid said, "Why don't you come to church with me?" And he checked with his mama. And the Catholic kid said, "I can, but you got to come to the Catholic church first." He said, "All right." So they went to Saturday night mass at the Catholic church so they could go to Sunday morning church at the real church. I mean, at the Baptist church. They went to mass that night, and the little Catholic kid walked up to the Holy Father and introduced this little Baptist kid. And the Holy Father said, "I'm going to show off how smart we Catholics are." He looked at the little Catholic boy and he said, "Son," he said, "you see those three pictures over there?" He said, "Whose picture is that in the middle?" He said, "Oh, that's easy. That's Jesus on the cross." He said, "Very good, very good." Kind of looked at the little Baptist kid like, wonder if he knew that. He said, "Son, whose picture is that over there on the left?" He said, "That's the Pope." He said, "Glad you knew that. Glad you knew that." He looks at the other one. He said, "Whose picture is that over there?" He said, "Now that's a little harder, but That's the archbishop. The old Holy Father pushed his chest out real proud, looked at the little Baptist boy and said, could you have named all three of those? He said, well, I always knew Jesus hung between two thieves, but I never knew their names before. That's one of my favorite jokes. Now, you have to realize these two, not those two thieves, but the two thieves in Scripture. I am really going to get in trouble. I'm sorry. These two thieves were not just common thieves. When you're being put to death, you have a death penalty on you for the type of crimes that they had committed. They're pretty bad men. These would be men who would be comparable to names like Jesse James, Al Capone, men of that, I hate using the word caliber, but that depth of character. I'm sure there was more to their history than just being a thief. Now, listen to me. These two thieves hung there for 6 hours with Jesus between them. They saw the crowd. They saw the jeering mob. They saw the corrupt religious leaders denaming and degrading the name of Jesus Christ. They saw the politicians happy over the death or soon coming death and torture of Jesus. They saw the mockery. They watched people walk up and cough the defilement of their bodies and spit it in the face of Jesus. They watched people hit him with their fists. They saw innocence being treated worse than guilty parties. One of these thieves, after 6 hours. This wasn't immediately, this is after 6 hours. One of the thieves looked over and said, hey, if you're the Son of God, why don't you get down and save yourself? While you're at it, why don't you save us? Why don't you prove that you're God? By the way, he was only concerned about his own neck. He was only concerned about his own flesh. He wanted his own suffering to be over. The other thief said, hey, why don't you shut up? He looked at the other thief and said, you just shut up. He's innocent. We're guilty. We're getting what we deserve, but he is sinless. Ooh. Now, wait a minute. While they hang there on that cross, all three of them have gotten word that Judas had gone out and hung himself. While they were there hanging on the cross, they have, by the way, Jesus was a fairly well-known personality in Israel. Everybody knew who he was. Everyone knew who the disciples were. Those two men on either side of Jesus Christ looked out and saw the jeering mob and watched the disciples run away like roaches when you turn the lights on. They saw him being forsaken by his friends. Wow. They also saw Jesus do nothing to defend himself. They watched him take it willingly. Now listen to me very carefully. That first thief, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, why don't you get down and save yourself and save us? That second thief, after he had popped off at his buddy, he said, Lord, when you die today, would you remember me in paradise? I'd like to go where you're going, but I don't deserve to go there. Ha. Jesus looked over to his left and said, son, if you'll trust me, today you'll be there with me. Amen. While Jesus was dying on the cross, he was concerned about somebody else. And and led that man to himself. By the way, both of them are in heaven today. And there's one burning in hell, according to Scripture. Let me ask you a question. What will you do with Jesus today? You see, we're good at being upset with Judas Iscariot for betraying Jesus. We're good at being upset with that thief that said, "Why didn't you save my backside? Why didn't you get me off this cross?" We're quick to say, that Apostle Peter, he denied Jesus. But let me ask you a question. What are you doing with Jesus Christ today? What does your life say you're doing with Christ? Let me ask you, Christian. Let me ask you, church member. What will you do with Jesus? There's only one of four things you can do. And I'm convinced of that. Number one, you can betray Jesus. You can betray Jesus. I want you to think with me for a moment. We're pretty good at making Judas Iscariot to be out this evil, vile, dark personality. You realize that Judas Iscariot walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. He heard every sermon Jesus preached. He was with him during each and every one of the miracles, virtually. He was looked up to, respected. He was one of the 12 closest people to Jesus Christ. Now listen to this statement. When Judas even betrayed him, Jesus called Judas his friend. He was a friend to Jesus Christ. Don't you think it hurt Jesus to have Judas betray him? By the way, Judas sold Jesus for money, 30 pieces of silver. Commonly known, 30 pieces of silver was about what it would take to buy a common slave. Judas didn't sell out for a bunch of gold. Just a handful of change. Just a handful of change. Can I tell you something? Money does not buy forgiveness. Money does not buy happiness. Hey, do you remember some of you older timers, my age or older? Remember back in the late 70s when the steel mills started shutting down? Boy, everybody decided to go to Texas. They're going to get in the oil industry, and the oil boom hit. We're going to go follow the money. You show me one place in the Bible where it says you followed the job. Money won't make you happy. I know a lot of rich people that aren't happy. Go to Hollywood. Money does not buy happiness. It may rent it for a while, but it does not purchase it. Money does not buy peace. Did you catch that? Money does not buy peace of mind. By the way, Judas Iscariot spent 3.5 years with Jesus, and the Bible says that he took care of all the finances for the disciples. Do you realize that Matthew was a tax collector? No wonder they didn't trust him with the money. No. But do you realize there were people probably more known for their money abilities, but the disciples named Judas to oversee their finances? That's a pretty trusted person. If you're going to turn the business end of things over to somebody, if you're going to turn the money over to somebody, you've got to trust them. Judas wasn't this evil, dark creature that stood in the back going, all the time. He understood finances. He was good with money, and they trusted him. Let me ask you a question. Don't you criticize Judas for following money. What are you doing with Jesus? I said this a few weeks ago. By the way, Everybody look at me for just a second. I am not going anywhere. Okay? I have no plans on it. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to die here. Some wish I would die sooner than I am, but I have no plans on going anywhere, just so you know. Many of you, though, would be upset with me if some church out in the country in the middle of Ohio with 100 acres of deer hunting out here and 50 acres of fishing out here called me to be their pastor. And I said, well, I like the area better than I do here. And I'm going to go there because I like the weather and I like the area a whole lot better. Now, you'd be mad at me if I left this job to go to that job over that. What's the difference between me and you? Well, we could get you a bigger salary somewhere else. Some of you would be upset if I went to a church with a bigger salary and that was the leading thing that caused me to go there. By the way, I'm not going anywhere. But may I say this, why is it wrong for me and right for you? I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not saying that God does not move people around from time to time. Did you catch that? But let me ask you a question. What are you doing with Jesus? I know people that moved during the 70s and 80s, left their good churches, went to a place that they knew not of, got there, and now their families are a wreck. I could give you a list of names longer than my arm of people that followed the dollar and lost their families, lost everything, and totally messed up their lives. I've watched it happen every year of my life in the ministry. I heard Brother Hiles preach it and preach it and preach it and preach it while I was in college. I thought, man, do people really do that? And I mean this the right way. The old man knew what he was talking about. Now, that does not mean that God does not move people. But may I say this, just because it's a little better paying job or it's a little bit more picturesque, don't you think I'd like to go to Maui and start a church? And no, I'm not going to do it with Bermuda shorts or I definitely ain't wearing no grass skirt. Now, wait a minute. There are more picturesque places in this world. Man, if I had my way, it'd be Alaska. Say, wait a minute, it's cold. Yeah, but you get down by the ocean, it's not cold year round. And there's plenty of hunting, amen? Yeah, you say, have you ever been there? No, I'm going to go there during the millennium, amen? Then I don't need a license to kill. Wait a minute. What will you betray Jesus over? Will it be the buck? Will it be the dollar bill? Will it be the location of what you want? Many of us betray Jesus over far less than what Judas did. You'll criticize Jesus or Judas, but what will you do it for? Next, you can deny Jesus. This one hurts, folks. Peter was the leader of the disciples. Peter seems to have been the spokesman, the actual leader of the disciples. Anytime you see the listing of the disciples, you'll see it, Peter, James, and John. Peter's always mentioned first. Say why? Because he opened his mouth before everybody else. No. By the way, Peter was a good man. Peter did many good things. He had good friends. He had a good family. By the way, anybody that's willing to go get Jesus to heal his mother-in-law has to be a good man. Peter had a respectful job. He was a fisherman. He had his own business. Then he left that business to follow Jesus. Peter was physically strong. He was a good preacher. God used Peter to preach Pentecost with 3,000 people getting saved. Now you stand up on the back end of a Ford pickup truck with no PA system and preach and have 3,000 people saved. You say, how do you know it's a Ford pickup truck? Because that's the only one God made. Now wait a minute. Peter was known for helping the poor. Peter spent 3.5 years with Jesus, and he was not only part of the inner three, Peter, James, and John, not only part of the 12, not only part of the 120 in the upper room, but he was the leader of all of them, except for Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Everybody look at me. How could Peter be so close to Jesus and deny him? When the time came, he ran and hid. He cursed and swore. He left the ministry. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that he and some of the disciples went out fishing. They weren't just going out to throw a few lines in. They had started back up the fishing business. They went back to James and John, picked up the old boat, picked up the old nets, and went back out to start making money. Say why? Because Jesus died. Now wait a minute. If somebody that close to Jesus could deny him, you're not such a good Christian, you couldn't either. Well, I grew up in church. So did I. And you know what? I'm just as bad a sinner as the person that hadn't spent one day in church. Who do you think you are? You know so much Bible that you don't live it. You have never spent 3.5 years side by side with Jesus Christ to say you would never do that. I'll make a statement here. Are you denying Jesus with your present? You have a past of success in Christianity. And you felt like you were so close to Jesus, but you are denying him in your present. Well, I used to, I have done, I did do, but what are you doing right now? Some of you will get mad at Peter because he denied and cussed and swore. Well, what are you doing? Well, I used to be a soul winner. Used to read my Bible. Used to be faithful to church, but what are you doing now? You get mad at Peter, but you have well, I didn't do that years ago, but what about right now? Don't you get mad at Peter. Thank God he got back up and 45 days later preached Pentecost. He wasn't down long. Now, I don't agree with what he did. I think what he did was wrong, but bless God he got back up. Let me ask you a question. Are you as productive now for Christ as you used to be? I realize the older you get, the harder it is. But as long as you're still sucking air, there's something you can do. There is. I realize some of you older folks can't get out and go door to door like you used to go. I am not criticizing you. But there are still things for God you can do. Everybody doing all right? Some of you have healthy bodies and won't even go. Well, I'm just afraid. And I'm so sick and tired of this. I've been hearing this for 30 years of my life, and I'm about to throw a spell on this thing. There's no such thing as the gift of soul winning. It's a command of God. Well, I just don't have the gift of soul winning. That's charismatic. That's Pentecostal garbage. That's an excuse for you saying, I don't want to go. Jesus didn't say you go soul winning if you have the gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The moment you got saved, you got the gift and you got commissioned to go give it. God gave you a bank account to use in his name. Number three. First of all, you can betray him. Second of all, you can deny him. Third of all, you can be like that thief on the cross and only use Jesus to benefit you. You know, the first thief on the cross only wanted Jesus to benefit himself. Hey, you get down off that cross and save yourself and save us too. Why don't you prove it by doing something for me? Can I tell you something? God doesn't owe you anything. Well, I prayed and I asked God for this and he didn't answer and God must not love me. God didn't have to answer anything but, God, I'm a sinner, save me. Anything past that's a benefit. God doesn't owe you anything. Everybody catch that? Well, I got an ingrown toenail on my toe and God hadn't healed it yet. Well, he might not. Rip the stupid toenail out and keep on going for God. Can I tell you something? We're watching something take place in America. The venue of spiritual America is gone. We're watching churches become places of business. This church is not a business. I'm just going to say it. It's not where you come and pass out your business cards and build your business. Everybody doing all right? This is the house of God. Jesus made a whip and started chasing out the money changers. Now I'm going to get in a whole lot of trouble. Hang in there. If you read the newspaper today, Fox News, any of the news, the Presbyterian Church has officially claimed that they're against Israel now by keeping the Palestinians out, that they ought to diversify like our president wanted. And they're now taking the two companies that they own, catch that? The two companies that they own in Israel, and not supporting Israel anymore, they're going to support the Palestinians. What's the church supporting businesses for? That's what religion does, not the church. Just so you know. Say, well, how much business does the church do? All of it, God's business. Say, well, what kind of savings plan do you have? A little bit in the bank to take care of the rainy days if the offerings are down. Past that, we're investing it in the people of God. Amen? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Don't use church as a social status. Your church is not supposed to be your social status. Well, you're not going to attract rich people. I'm not trying to attract rich people or poor people. I'm just trying to attract every person we can, get them under the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let God change their life. Why does it matter what they have in their wallet? Why does it matter what they have in their bank account? It does not matter. Jesus didn't come to seek and to save only the rich. By the way, Jesus didn't come to seek and to save only the poor either. He died for them all. Every race, every color, every language, and every social status. By the way, some of you would have never followed Jesus Christ because he was homeless. Everybody doing okay? You know, this is not a place. Again, this is probably where I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. We're not going to have a church yard sale so we can raise money for your favorite things. This isn't a place of business. This is God's business. If some of you ladies go together and have a garage sale, God bless you. We're not having it at the church. Amen. Say why? Because I don't want to be lumped up with that crowd. We're not going to play bingo. Raise money. Let them do it down at the Catholic Church. It always amazes me. Gambling's illegal unless the government sponsors it or the Catholic Church. Check the laws. It's illegal unless the government sponsors it or the Catholic Church. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. This is not a place of health and wealth. Oh, you just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. Gag. Those are the guys that wear the dresses and prance around the pulpit and act like a priest. Folks, just because you got saved doesn't mean all your problems go away. Matter of fact, you're probably going to get some more. Well, I thought getting saved meant all my problems going away. Folks, the one that saved you, they nailed him to a cross. And you think your problems are going away? This is a place for you to come get help. Place for you to come and get a place of refuge and let the Word of God change your life. Get strengthened to make it to another service. Make it out there in a sin-sick world. It's a hospital, not a museum. By the way, I hate to say this. Did you ever go to the hospital, check in, check out, and feel like they didn't do anything? You say, yeah, every time. Wait a minute. Sometimes you don't know what's taking effect. You stay whether you feel the effect or not. Everybody doing okay? Obedience is better than feeling. Well, I'll go as long as it's convenient. God have mercy. I am so sick and tired of our convenience-based society, it makes me want to throw up. I'm not kidding. Well, it's just not been convenient for my schedule. Who made you God? Who made you God? I don't know about you. I need church. By the way, I need Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You see, yeah, you're the preacher. That's why you need it. No, I needed it before I was the preacher. I still need it as the preacher, though. So, number one, you can betray him. Number two, you can deny him. Number three, you can use Jesus only to benefit you. But, and let me just throw this in there since somebody could get mad. I'll let my critics criticize me a little bit more. Amen. I am so sick and tired of us making church a place of let's go have our coffee shops and let's have our bookstore. And I'm not against a Christian bookstore to get you Bibles or whatever you need, but it's not here for us to make money off of and draw people in. We're going to draw people in by preaching the Word of God and going out and knocking on doors telling others how to get saved. My wife was knocking on a door Tuesday night. I don't even know who was with her, but the lady says, I know that guy on that picture. I thought, uh-oh. She said, do you know him? She said, that's my husband. She said, I've met him before. He's given me one of these and told me about the Lord before. Folks, isn't that what it's all about? I walked into Sheets here a couple weeks ago. There's a new lady working down there. I walked in. She said, three of your folks gave me your card. I hadn't even met her yet. I said, well, good. Then I don't need to give you one. She said, nope, got three of them right here. I loved it. I loved it. Now, folks, Christianity wasn't a matter of convenience. Jesus did not leave heaven and come to earth because it was convenient. He didn't become persecuted, run for his life till he could make it to Calvary, get beat three quarters to death, let them nail him to a cross, hang there for 9 hours and die because it was convenient. Christianity is not supposed to be a convenience thing. What will you do with Jesus? Lastly, this is my favorite. You didn't want to shout before, but this one's going to make you shout. You can trust and obey him. Can I tell you something? Jesus won't hurt you. Jesus will not hurt you. Say, well, I came to church and bad things happened to me. Guess what? Bad things happen to people that don't go to church too. Just because you go to church doesn't mean bad things don't happen. Now listen to me, that other thief on the cross, he said, Lord, would you remember me when you go to paradise? When you get to heaven, would you remember me? I don't deserve it, but would you remember me? Notice one wanted to do it himself. The other knew he needed Jesus to do it for him. Can I tell you something? If you could trust Jesus Christ with your eternity, listen to this statement. Why won't you trust him with your life here? Why is it that Jesus is good enough to take us to heaven, but he's not good enough to help us with our life here? You know, Jesus not one time ever promised you'd never have problems. But he did promise to go through those problems with you. Do you know that he didn't stop that thief from dying? And did you know he was dying with that thief? We've listened to the community church and the charismatics way too long. Oh, just become a Christian and all the problems go away. Oh, that sounds good. That sounds nice. That's kind of like the little child that plays hide and go seek. You know, you can't see me. Folks, you can cover your eyes all you want, but you're going to have problems. You really are. Do you realize that we're all sinners? We're going to face the consequences for our sin, but the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're never judged for those sins. The only punishment you suffer is what you go through here on this earth. Can I tell you something? It gets a whole lot better. I was talking to my dear little old grandma yesterday, and she's starting to slow down. She said, "It's not going to be long, is it, honey?" I said, "No, probably not, Grandma." She said, "All the pain will be gone." I said, "Yeah, and you're going to get to see Jesus and get to see Grandpa and get to see this person and that person." I said, "But until then, we got to keep going. We got to keep going." Can I tell you something? You got to keep going. "Well, it hurts. It's hard." Oh, we wouldn't want you to do something hard. You know, everybody thinks older folks are just so fragile. And so to get old, you got to be tough. I'm not kidding. You got to be tough. Everything stops working. Starts hurting. Takes longer to get it done. Then you forget what you did and got to do it again. If you can find it. You got to be tough, amen? Now, wait a minute. Why is it that you'll trust him to take you to heaven, but you won't trust him with your life here? And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Some of you need to let Christ have control and not tell God what God should do with you. Did you catch that? You know, I don't tell God what to do with me. I just ask him to let me help people and he'll show me what to do. I really do. I've never told God. By the way, if I would have told God what I wanted to do, my mom and dad are sitting back there, they can tell you this. If I got what I wanted, I'd have been a missionary in Mexico. Just so you know. 13 years old, I surrendered to preach in Mexico, in Guatemoc, Chihuahua, Mexico. And I wanted to go back and be a missionary there. Just so you know, that's what I wanted. Obviously, it's not what God wanted. I'm glad my preacher was wise enough to say, "Why don't you just do what God wants you to do? Don't put a ceiling on God." I'm not going to put a ceiling on God, folks. I don't believe every person in the world is supposed to go into the ministry. If that's the case, there's no need for the church. But I am telling you this, God has a will for lay people as much as he has a will for preachers. Some of you think when I say do the will of God that I'm talking about go into the ministry and do what I do. No, there is a will of God for every individual in this room right now. As a lay person. Did y'all catch that? Do you know that the will of God is just as important for Evan Barnes as it is for me? Do you know that the will of God is just as important for Bob Kellerman as it is for me? By the way, it's different for all three of us. Can I tell you something? I just want you to fulfill the will of God for your life. That's all. Say why? Because I'm as happy as a June bug on the last day of May. Man, doing the will of God's great. Some of you, oh, I got to go to church. Man, time to get in the will of God. It won't be, I got to go. It's, I get to go. I don't feel like going. Man, I don't feel like staying. Say, oh, I'm just so tired, and I'm not. Say why? Because I've had two cups of coffee today. Folks, can I tell you something? I couldn't be happier than doing the will of God. My wife knows this is true. My mom and dad know this is true. My in-laws know this is true. My children know this is true. I've got one son that's studying to be a pastor. Great. God bless him. God takes him to Timbuktu or across the world. I want he and his wife, future wife, Ruth Ann, in less than a month, I want them as happy as my wife and I have been in 25 years of marriage doing the will of God. If I've got to travel across the world to see grandkids someday and they're in the will of God, you're looking at one happy man. I'd rather have my kids in the middle of Africa, in the jungle somewhere, in some grass hut, in the will of God, than here in Martinsburg, out of the will of God. Just so you know. You say, oh, you're losing your boy. No, I'm gaining a daughter. I've told Ruth Ann, I am so happy. You can take him now. I did tell her that. No, I'm so happy. You know what I've told both of them? I want you and you to be as happy as my wife and I have been. I do. I want them to be that happy. I got another boy. Guess what? He's not necessarily studying to be in the ministry. I'm just as happy with him. I'm just as happy with him, just so you know. I'm just as proud of him, just so you know. You say, well, is he going to be in the ministry? No. He's not even totally sure what he wants to do yet. But at least he's in a safe place to make some good decisions, and he's listening to his pastor right now. By the way, and that's not me, it's Brother Fugit. Everybody doing all right? Well, what if he doesn't go into ministry? I'm happy. He loves his mom. He loves his dad. He's serving God. He's tithing. He's a soul winner. Guess what? I'll take that any day. As long as he's obeying God, who cares what he's doing? Boy, that's a good statement. Somebody in this room might need to get saved. You've been playing long enough. In the last 2 weeks, we've had two young people in our church get saved that grew up in church. My daughter has a friend, and I won't reveal who it is. She's a preacher's daughter. She was at a camp recently, and it's been bothering her for a couple of years about her salvation. She spent 45 minutes at an altar one night, and she said, why don't you people just don't understand? I just got to nail it down for me. I am so proud of that young lady. Bless God, quit telling your kids they're saved. Let them have the Holy Spirit tell them. Say, well, they've done it before, okay? Until they understand it and they don't have to do it again, let them do it. Amen. By the way, young people, don't let your pride hold you back. By the way, adult, don't let your pride hold you back. Maybe you've been saved. You've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Baptistry is wide open. Maybe you've been coming to church. You need to join a New Testament local church. We live in such a weird society. People think just because they come, they join. No, you got to join up. Say why? Because that's what you're supposed to do. Join the local body of believers, amen? A called out assembly. If you've been saved, baptized by immersion, the doors are open. Now, you don't have to come very long to figure out what I am. I am as old-fashioned as they come. You're not going to always like what I preach. By the way, I don't always like what I preach. Say why? Because I'm preaching about my sin just like I'm preaching on your sin. Okay, here's where the rubber meets the road. Somebody in this room needs to obey God and start going soul winning. Some of you used to, but you don't anymore. And by the way, not everybody can come either Tuesday night or Saturday. I understand that. But can I tell you something? You're supposed to tell people about Jesus Christ. Just because you don't go out with the church doesn't mean that you're not a soul winner. I know people's schedules. Brother Mark, God bless him, he's running a business, and there's times he just can't get out when we need to, but he and Mrs. Rogers go soul winning every week. Can I tell you something? That makes me happy. He'll call. He said, "Preacher, I can't make it." I said, "It's okay." He said, "But we're going out." That's fine. I just want them going, amen. You don't have to go out at the scheduled time, but you ought to have a time to go. I have found most people don't go unless they schedule it. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Some of you don't obey him with your church attendance. Can I tell you something? Some of you just need to get back in church. Why is it that most churches, Sunday morning's good crowd, Sunday night's a little less, and Wednesday night, there's the faithful few? It should not be that way. I realize you can't be at everything. Man, we had a good crew yesterday. We had 40 men here yesterday. I was excited. I really was. I think you just ought to show up to everything you can show up to, though. I really do. What will you do with Jesus? You criticize Judas. You criticize Peter. You criticize the thief on the cross. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing with Jesus Christ today? Will you deny him? Will you disobey him? Will you use him for your own profit, or are you going to trust him? It's up to you. The title, the thought, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I don't have one doubt in my mind. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, Preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure. Maybe I've been in church my whole life. Maybe I'm visiting. It doesn't matter. But who would say, Preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Parents, we've got some little ones. Just be sensitive. Some of you have some decision-making to do with God. Who'd say, Preacher, somewhere tucked inside that sermon, God got a hold of me. Maybe it's something you said. Maybe it's something you didn't say. But there's something in there for me. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Man, scores and scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put your hands down. In a moment, we'll stand. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. If you need to come to use this altar, you may. Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. We can take care of that. Maybe you've been saved and baptized and never joined a church. We'd love to have you. Whatever the decision, maybe you just want to come here and pray. That's fine. But some of you, what will you do with Jesus today?